Good afternoon. Today's regular meeting of the Shasta County Elections Commission is now called to order. It is Monday, February 5th, and it is 2:02 p.m. The commission will provide members of the public with a public comment open period time where the public may address the commission on any item not listed on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. Members of the public may also comment on any item on the consent calendar or the regular calendar before or during the commission's consideration of that item. Commission action or discussion cannot be taken on non-agendized matters, but the commission may briefly respond to statements and questions. We encourage everyone to fill out a speaker request form that can be found at the back of the room and submit it to the clerk of the board over here to my left. Forms are located in the back of the board chambers. The meeting will adjourn by 5 p.m. With that, we will begin with the invocation followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, and Darcy has volunteered to come up and provide the invocation. Come up, sir.
So now is the time?
Okay.
I didn't know. Father, I want to thank you for this time that we're able to come together and uphold the law of the land. We know that in your wisdom you established governments and laws in the land. So we're here to try to uphold those laws and bring to light the truth. And we just thank you for this time and your guidance in this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And Commissioner Barrymore is going to lead us in the flag salute.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, before we get started, Commissioner Barrymore is going to give an announcement for us.
I'm going to read some prepared remarks. This is a little much for our community, I think. This commission feels it important to share the news that Shasta County's Registrar of Voters, Kathy Darling Allen, plans to step down as clerk, Registrar of Voters, on May 5th, 2024, continuing to lead through the upcoming March 5th presidential primary and certification of that vote. Kathy has served this county for over 20 years. She and I worked in the Social Services Department in 2000, where I knew her to be a sharp, informed analyst in the agency. Since 2006, when she was first elected to the position of clerk ROV, she has overseen 40 successful elections in her tenure, as well as serving 188,000 residents in this county, helping them to marry, open businesses, prepare for international travel, and vote. Kathy's letter to the community can be found on the ROV website and on social media. Kathy is dealing with a personal health issue right now, which includes heart failure, which requires her to devote more of her time to her health than the significant community-created problems around elections and elections integrity. Kathy's retirement is a huge loss to our community and to our county. I spoke today with Ryan Ronco, the Republican Registrar of Voters for Placer County and current president of the California Clerk Elections Association, who offered the following with regard to his work with Kathy Darling Allen. In the past year, I have watched from my role with our association as she has moved a portion of her office, retired a voting system, developed a hand counting process, retired that hand counting process due to legislative mandate, learned, implemented, and trained on a new election system, managed two and reviewed one very contentious recall petitions, conducted a special election, and prepared for an upcoming presidential primary. Any one of those things would have been a lot for any elections office. That Kathy, Joanna, their supervisors, Sarah, Janae, Anna, and Julianne, and the rest of their staff have managed it all is unprecedented and something for which the voters in Shasta County should be enormously proud. In my own words as an individual commissioner, I implore the part of this community which has hunted Kathy like a wounded animal in recent weeks, who have continued to promote election fraud conspiracies without any factual merit, and to otherwise threaten, intimidate, and harass election staff, please stop. Please treat both Kathy and her staff as the professionals they are, doing their jobs with knowledge, experience, and integrity that they have shown for Shasta County for decades. Kathy and her staff deserve the same compassion, respect, and kindness you would show your sister, mother, wife, daughter, or any other family member during this difficult time. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Barrymore. Okay, we'll have open public comment, and the first person I have is Steve Woodrum.
Commissioners, our Constitution requires the president to be a natural-born citizen. Some people say this means born in the United States, but this isn't defined, and we don't have a major Supreme Court decision to clarify the issue. This became an actual constitutional issue when John McCain ran for president because he was born in the Panama Canal Zone. So was he a natural-born citizen? Now, in point of fact, I believe he was. He came from a military family stationed overseas. That's enough for me. But his candidacy showed the need to clarify this phrase, natural-born, in our Constitution. Those of us who respect the Constitution and our elections saw the need to resolve this issue. But some people ignored this real constitutional issue and went nuts over Obama. And the biggest cheerleader behind this birther nonsense was Don Trump. Because of his lies, many Americans still believe that Obama was an illegitimate president and that our elections are corrupt nationwide. Trump continues to lie. And people continue to believe him, grasping at straws while wrapping themselves in the Constitution like it's their own personal security blanket. In point of fact, they ignore the constitutional issues of the day and cause immeasurable damage to our nation. This shameful history explains the attacks on our elections office and our honorable county clerk.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Next person, Cherie Amaral.
Good afternoon. I want to share some declarations that we have written on violations of the 2020 election. My husband and I and a group of people went out canvassing, and we did find fraudulent people voting. We went to Battle Drive in Manton. This person said they didn't live there in 2020, but it said they voted. Went to Castle Road in Castle. It was the United States Postal Service there. There was no other address but the Castle Road Castle, and that person said that person voted there. There's another one that way. We drove out into Mountain View Road in Burney. They said that the person had voted from this address, and we drove out there, and it was nothing out there, nothing at all. It was in the woods. Another one was on Bidwell Road in Hat Creek. This person said he voted, but it said on the voter roll that he did not. Another one in Bidwell Hat Creek said they moved in April of 2020 to Tacoma, Washington, I believe. We talked to this person for quite a while. She's a really nice lady. Anyway, she hadn't seen him for a long time, but it said he voted. Another one on Bidwell Road in Hat Creek said this person had moved to Oregon and lived there for 20 years, but they voted. Zero Bear Creek Trading Post. That was out off of 44. It said that this person voted, but there was nothing out there. Hadn't been out there for a long time. I stopped and talked to a person in Shingletown, and they said Bear Creek had been gone for a very long time, according to the citizen, and there was no picture to be had. Also, this other person said they never voted but did receive a ballot, but they didn't vote, but it said they voted. So there are problems with the mail-in ballots, you know. Anyway, that's what we found, and that's just a fraction of them. Thank you.
Sherry?
Yes?
Would you mind?
Would you mind passing all of that information on? Would you make a list and pass it on to the registrar's office? Because they can't fix any of these things unless, they actually have those issues in hand.
I guess.
That would be awesome. Also,
I think most of these are already with the sheriff.
Okay, well, the sheriff is not in charge of the voter rolls, but the people in the elections office are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 2.5 FTEs who work on these issues consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can let them know what the issues are that you found.
Okay.
And with regard to Bear Creek Trading Post, my childhood home, I can assure you there are people out there living there.
Well, I'm just saying what I found.
Well, and I think if you have a conversation with the registrar's office, you all can marry up what information you have versus what information they have that may be better or more relevant or whatever, because I think we all want to get to the bottom of who's registered properly and who's not.
Well, we need to clean the voter rolls is what we need to do.
And that takes all of us. So if you could forward this to Joanna, that would be awesome.
I'll try.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add, I was going to ask if you had talked with the registrar's office. They have requested that if you do find, you hear stories about voter fraud or, you know, someone got a ballot who doesn't live there anymore, this is for everybody. Please report it to the office so that they can take care of that.
Yeah, thank you.
With some of the things that she stated, I've asked Joanna, and Joanna's response was, well, we do make mistakes, or sometimes people don't remember they voted, and they did. So, you know, I'm not so sure.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping at this point in time that, you know, we're trying, everybody, the public, the commission, the ROV's office is all working, we're all working toward working together and, you know, coming up with solutions, and Joanna did mention when she was up at the podium giving a presentation on voter rolls that she wanted to encourage the public to bring the issues to her so they could be rectified. If they're brought to her and then they're not rectified, that's a different story, and we can cross that bridge when we get to it.
Can I? One second.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how many people had gone to the ballots and said they voted, and they were told they already, you know, they went there to vote, and they were told you already voted.
Yeah, that's
and that went into provisional. You know, at this point, given the fact that not everything I've heard makes sense to me,
Did Joanna mention how that could happen?
How?
That somebody could go in to vote and
people
says,
forget they voted already.
No, I know, but let's say that's not the issue. Did she give any suggestion as to how that could happen? That somebody could go in to vote? No, okay.
No.
Well, I believe that was her suggestion, that people do forget things and they might forget that they have mailed in their ballot before they go in to vote at the polls. Okay. I believe that's what she said.
Okay. All right, Dr. Laura Hobbs, you didn't check a box. Did you want public comment or a particular item? Okay.
Okay, good afternoon, Board. My name is Laura Hobbs, Dr. Laura Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I'd like to start by reading a quote by Thomas Paine. He says, "The right of voting for representatives is the primary right by which other rights are protected. To take away this right is to reduce a man to slavery, for slavery consists in being subjected to the will of another. And he that has not a vote in the election of representatives is in this situation," by Thomas Paine. This is a primary issue for all the citizens of Shasta County. If they don't have representatives that they feel that they voted for and that their votes were accurately counted, then they are nothing more than slaves. This is an issue of public trust. If there's anything that's of utmost importance to the county and the citizens of this county, it's the right to know that their vote was counted and counted accurately. Any time they accept a fraudulent vote, they are disenfranchising a citizen who is rightfully casting a vote and not having their vote counted accurately. So I wanted to make mention of that. I also want to talk about the voter rolls briefly. Just to let you know that we have about, right now in 2024, we have 112,000 active voters. We also have 30,000 inactive voters, which is just astonishing to me. And we have 46,000 canceled voters. This is a huge segment for which here in Shasta, we are not even entitled to know who is on the canceled voter list. This is equivalent to the dark web. It's a whole other voter registration system that we as citizens don't have the transparency and the ability to see. That is not right. Other counties share the canceled voter data with whoever requests them. This county does not. And in my experience, if you have nothing to hide, then you hide nothing. There's a huge lack of transparency in this county. We need to do better. We need to do much better. We need to go to hand counting at the precincts with paper poll books. It's very simple, actually. We also need to get a hold of the 2022 primary election data because it's about to be destroyed. There's a lot of credible evidence that there was computer manipulation in that election, not just seen by me, but by Jeffrey O'Donnell and others as well. So I'm asking urgently that we retain those documents. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I can't. Thank you. Okay, I have a question because it did come up last time about the canceled voters. Now, what have you guys discovered about that? Because the state does give it out and so does several counties, so I don't see how it can be a law to not be able to give it. And without it, it's like trying to put a puzzle together without all the pieces.
I believe at the following the last meeting, there was a discussion about how the definition did not include canceled voter rolls. And so, but there wasn't anything further on that. I had not received direction, but I'm happy to look in and talk to you about that afterwards too as well. There wasn't a formal direction from the commission.
We received information, actual verbiage from the law that tells us that the state does not include canceled voters as part of disclosable information. The fact that other counties are disclosing this information means that they are non-compliant.
And the state is given it also.
Yeah, the way I read it is they have to disclose certain things. That's not one of them, but it doesn't preclude that other thing from being disclosed. So I don't think they're necessarily in violation, but that's something that the attorney can look into.
So I would just like to remind folks that the place where we achieve that change is in the state legislature. Because our registrar of voters is going to follow the law the way they have been shown to interpret that law. And if we would like them to follow the law differently, we need to change the law.
Okay, what about, like, because it's totally up to the interpretation. That's why we need an election expert lawyer.
I can't address that outside,
Can I finish? Okay,
sure.
Because even as far as the commission meeting says it's illegal for Laura to say she's running for office, yet at the board meeting it's okay because it's up to interpretation. So this is coming from the person, whoever's sitting in your seat. So how do we know what is true and what's not?
Well, I can address that. So regarding the whole comment about from Dr. Laura Hobbs, what I had previously mentioned was that Government Code Section 8314 states that the public officer shall not permit public resources to be used for campaigning. There was a question by another member of the public about what that definition of campaigning is. Campaigning under that Government Code sections that I just referenced refers to the express advocacy for or against the defeat of a measure or a candidate. So that is something that you should not be using public resources for, including building time. That said, that obligation is from the public officer. And so if that notification is made, that obligation is satisfied. There's also the other portion that, you know, as long as the public speaker isn't expressly advocating for or against a position, that's fine. That is just also something that would provide that information to the public so that they are aware of that when they are making those comments. That said, there's also other communications, I believe, in this room too, that are expressly advocating for or against the defeat of a candidate. And so with that, the chair has the discretion has the directive to restrict that. So I believe that with the chair informing the public of that, those obligations of the chair are satisfied. There's also the other provision under the Brown Act that any political statements too are not within the subject matter of the body. And so that area of law is gray. So there isn't any binding precedent on that. So, again, I just wanted you to be aware of that distinction and also why there are different approaches to that. But that said, I hope that's very helpful.
Yeah.
I would also mention that for the commission, when responding during public comment, particularly on items that are not on the agenda, the commission members should be keeping their remarks brief and just to answer questions relating to the comment, but it's not meant for the purposes of back and forth discussion. So I hope that's helpful too.
Okay, I realize that and I apologize, okay? But one more question. When there's signs saying to recall Kevin Cry, is that campaigning?
In my opinion, I believe that that is taking a position. It's clearly taking a specific position on the support or defeat.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty.
Moving on, Sean Henson. Is Sean Henson here?
Hello, I'm Sean Henson. I have been in this county. We arrived in 79, and just in brief, I retired senior manager from Head Start program of 20 years service, and I'm an adoptive mom of my three grandkids, who they call me mom, but I homeschool, and I have been contemplating up until about the last year, been working towards maybe moving out of state. And the reason why was just the state of our state and feeling kind of hopeless about raising my children in California. But I have seen a lot of positive changes, and so that is making me, I'm leaning now towards, as long as that continues, I'd like to see us stay here. So what I wanted to talk about is election integrity. I really became concerned, as many in the 2020 election have been following the, you know, just following the different court cases and whatnot. And last night in reviewing, there was a talk from Dr. Frank. I didn't actually listen to him. I've heard of him. But he gave a talk to the county. I'm not sure if it was this or another forum. But it was very evident, and looking at that, it was very visual and just so compelling, the amount of tampering there seems to be with voting records. And there was some great charts and whatnot that just showed that all but Modoc County and our, looked like there was a surge in registers, an unusual surge right before elections. And then the same people that surged, they would be removed from the voter records. And so he was just showing direct graphically that surge and then the trends and whatnot. So what I want to speak today is about, I'm just really excited about the idea of hand counting, because I really feel, based on what I've learned and just seeing that presentation, that hand counting is really the only way to ensure, you know, that we're getting the right ballots from the right people, people coming with their IDs, they vote, it's all done in one day, and of course there's exceptions, people who can't, are disabled and out of the country and that sort of thing, but you know, 90 some percent of people should be able to do that. And anyway, I wanted to advocate for not just the hand counting, but that it would happen at the precincts, which is very doable if you break it down by precinct. And there's a lot of interest. I know myself, I plan on helping at the precinct. And then using the paper poll books, rather than relying on the machines that seem to be in question. I think that would really give me and other voters a lot of peace. Anyway, I think that's the end of my time, but thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, Lori Heston.
Good afternoon. I wanted to come before you to encourage you, as soon as possible, to request the Board of Supervisors to, lost my breath a little bit there, to remove the drop boxes that have been placed as a temporary measure for the COVID-19 epidemic crisis. We were told they were temporary. We were told they were to secure our safety and our health, and yet they remain. And the last meeting I came to, at the Election Commission meeting, there was some conversation about surveillance of them, which would be fantastic in the absence of their removal. But I think we could save a lot of money, time, and community concern by just removing them. They were used with outside resources, they were temporary in nature, and now they've automatically become a permanent fixture of our elections. And this is how it's done. You know, little incrementally, we're going to do this temporarily for your safety, and then it remains. So that. And I also am curious, if I could talk to anyone at the end of the meeting on the law that was cited regarding the canceled voters, the specific law, so we could reference that. And the third item, to not be insulting at all, I really was lost in the council's final explanation of what the conversation we had about, you know, campaigning and not, and what's allowed and not. If there's any way to get like a summary of that, so that in my layman's mind, I could actually understand what is allowed and what is not. Thank you, ladies, for all your time.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
I would like to ask counsel, because I actually felt the same way that she did when you provided your explanation. So let me just recap. What I got out of it was, if somebody mentions, for instance, they are a candidate for supervisor, just sort of as part of their title, but they're not campaigning and they're not proceeding with any information that would sway somebody one way or the other about that particular race, then that's a gray area and that might be fine.
Now, there's two different laws. So government code section 8314 is not within the Brown Act. So that first part deals with a public officer not allowing for public use resources, such as, you know, the use of this room, which is paid for by taxpayers.
For campaigning.
So a simple statement without anything further where there's an express position is fine. However, it's, you know, I previously mentioned that so that way everyone is informed, both the public officer, you, and in your obligations to inform, to let the public know. And also the public. So when they are making their comments, too, they don't inadvertently say something that would be construed as support or defeat of that, because arguably that could be construed as a position. So that's one part. Under the Brown Act, the issue of whether someone could make that statement may be construed as political speech, in which case political speech is not something relating to the subject matter of the jurisdiction. And that area is the law that is gray. So there can be differences of opinion on that as well. Okay. Is that helpful?
Can you summarize it for me?
My understanding is, and I could be wrong too, don't campaign. The law, however, is a little gray, and so your job as the officer is to say, please don't use this facility to campaign, and then you've satisfied your obligation.
Correct.
And then it's on the individual whether or not they fulfill that requirement.
Correct.
Right.
I share the same understanding,
I
think the question was posed also from Commissioner Gray. Well, why do they allow it at the board? Well, because that's the board chairman choosing.
What is your title? I'm sorry.
County Council.
County Council said it, not anyone on the board.
What County Council said, I happened to catch that part of the meeting, was that there was a division of understanding, and probably this because, as this county council has said, there is a gray area legally with regards to that. So within their office, there is some disagreement on how it should be handled within chamber.
Well, I don't know if it's a disagreement. So when someone comes up for so under the Brown Act, everybody has the right to come up and make public comment. So when they do that, when they start campaigning, that is political speech, and in which case, you don't necessarily have a right to that because it's political speech and this is a limited public forum. But that's different than the other statute. That's independent of the government code section 8314. So, you know, that's, again, something where there's no binding legal precedent, which means there's nothing in case law that says definitively what that answer should be.
So you did say that the definition of campaigning, though, is doing or saying something to sway somebody one way or the other about
correct
something.
Correct. And which, so that was more of a cautionary information as well.
Mm-hmm. So is somebody stating that they are a candidate potentially swaying somebody?
So in itself, if they're not saying, you know, support or vote for in this manner, arguably, like, no. But if someone is making the statement, other people could construe that as implicitly campaigning, not expressly campaigning.
All right. Thank you.
Chair Lund, yes. You know, I don't think that we can stop anyone from introducing themselves any particular way. And, you know, at this point, I don't know that it's a good use of our time to keep batting this around. We've asked the person not to do it. If they choose to continue to do that, that's on them. I think that you've fulfilled your role in asking that it not be done. So I think that you have proceeded as any chairman should.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Steve Amrell.
I'm just a common guy, no title or anything. Transparency, accountability, and accessibility. Without that, the ROV is working for herself and not we the people. Let's not forget that when we did canvass, she went on the news morning, noon, and night and said a bunch of lies about us. What we were doing was illegal, unethical. We were trying to sway and influence votes. All of those were lies. We found over 380 violations. No one reported that. I mean, Mike Mangus did not put that on the news. I guess he decides what we should hear and what we shouldn't. So if she wants to know, she could come to us. It's a two-way street. She's been nothing but difficult. She's many other lies about the canvassing. We heard that she had called the FBI. She always says that there's been vote by mail. That was absentee ballots. It's not the same as this blanket voting, not at all. She lied about the new machines. Got us machines that are still proprietary software. She knew we didn't want that. She's misled and been difficult all the way. She's been an advocate for 969, spent over $1 million on these machines, and now she's projecting that upon our candidates, our supervisors, to make it look like they're the ones that are spending this money, when in fact, she's the one incurring these expenditures and projecting it on them. She's always said there was never another voting system in place. We've always had another voting system in place. It's the one you just said she retired, the hand counting system we always had. Just bring it back out and utilize it. To spend over 4,000 hours developing a hand count system for this county, said she had to build it from the ground up, develop it. Give me a break. How many man hours? 4,000 man hours? How much did that cost? There's another exploited, embellished expense that she's projecting on our candidates. She lies. She cannot be trusted. And you want us to work with her? She won't work with us. The Election Commission needs to take a look at these recall signatures. For them to collect them and vet them is totally ridiculous. That's like walking into a poker game and your cards are already dealt, and guess what? The dealer has four aces. We need transparency, accountability, and accessibility from our ROV. Nothing more and nothing less. She breaks the laws when it comes to our observing while she sits here and tells the board she's going to watch every law that comes. She's going to goose-step to every law that comes out of Sacramento. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Deidre Holliday.
I would again encourage you, Mr. Amrell, to make sure those 380 discrepancies or violations that you mentioned from your canvassing, if you could make a list of that so they know how to follow up on that, that would be awesome.
Okay, Deidre.
Stop time. She got
Okay, hi. I wanted to read a few declarations that were post-2020 election. This one is from Sugar Pine Lane, that person hasn't lived at that location for over 20 years. And the person testifying said, I'm not sure where he resides as of today, but that person had voted supposedly from that address. Another one is from Sugar Pine Lane and had moved from the location several years ago. The testifier said approximately 7 years ago and currently was living in Thailand from that person's knowledge. Third one is from Old Alturas Road. And the resident there said that that person who voted did not live at this address in November of 2020. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was just the ambiguous direction we get from the ROV as far as being observers. I had written to them and said I was told that there would be no texting, photos, or phone calls allowed inside and that I must go outside if I wanted to use my phone. And I asked if there was an ROV policy in place that sets forth that rule. And they did say yes, sent me their brochure, and referred me to Elections Code 18562.5B. And there's no mention of texting, photos, or phone calls in that section. And then I asked, by what legal authority did you restrict me from the use of my phone? And the answer was, this is a rule set forth by the Shasta County Elections Office. But if our state laws do not prohibit us from using cell phones, the ROV does not have the local right to take away observers' rights because we are fighting to have fair and transparent elections and to observe and spend our time where it's really we're actually seeing something. It has been really an uphill climb trying to even see things because they'll put us outside of a room with a window where there's a screen across the room. I'm estimating 20 feet. I don't know. And then just, you know, the little 11-point font. And we really, there's nothing meaningful being observed. We can't see anything. So it's like we're going through the actions, but we're not really being able to observe. So they have updated their guidelines a bit, but it still does have that the use of cameras, including cellular telephone cameras or video recordings, while inside the department are something that we may not do. Do I have 30 seconds more? Okay, thank you. And then in another place, it does say we request. So the guidelines say you may not, but then the observer schedule says we request that no photos, videos, or audio recordings. And if you must, please ask for permission. Do we need permission or not? I don't think so, but it's very ambiguous. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that issue to my attention. I actually commented on the last two versions of the observer regulations, and there was some, anyway, there were some discrepancies between some things, and I commented on them, but I haven't seen what they finally came up with or if they have come up with a final version. So I will check into that and check with the ROV's office on that. Thank you. All righty. Darcy?
Thank you, ladies, for volunteering your time to delve into our election integrity. I have here 10 people that were canvassed and asked questions about their voting. And the first five were all on South Market Street. This is in the 2020 election. And all of them said it was an unknown residence. So it's like we're getting, here's declarations from five people that have sworn that the residence wasn't there. So that's a fraudulent vote. There's five of those. They're all in South Market. And then we have another fraudulent vote from a person that wrote this declaration on Bocelli Lane. And the location of the vote was at the flag, the big flag on the freeway. That's the address. So how do you vote from there? You can't have an address there and be a legal voter. actually we have two people voted from that same address or from the flag. So there's seven. This particular person okay, that one I don't understand. This one was a post office. They voted from a post office. That's a fraudulent vote. They're not, nobody's allowed to vote with a post office address. And that this person said, this is from Trinity Street in Reading, said that they voted in the 2020 election, but they did not, in fact, vote. So there was a vote cast for this person that didn't vote. So that's the kind of stuff that's happening that we're trying to get addressed. And that's referring to the almost 400 that we just spent a little bit of time or a little bit of records to, you know what I mean. So anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
So can I assume that these declarations that you guys have brought forth today, are those the same ones that have been submitted to the sheriff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of the group that got submitted to the sheriff, and I don't know if they got submitted to the ROV or not.
Could you please follow up on that? Because, again, the sheriff cannot change the voter rolls, but the ROV can update them.
But the sheriff can investigate, and he's choosing not to.
Well, my understanding is that he put an investigator on it who's currently working on it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
Yeah. Okay, Nathan Blaze.
I'd also just like to comment that there is a distinction between a fraudulent vote and an illegal vote. And in order to determine a vote as fraudulent, a determination has to be made by law enforcement. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Sorry. I believe if it's intent can be established, it can become fraud if there's enough illegal votes, is what I've been told.
It still needs to be determined by an authority.
Right, but if a person doesn't exist, that's they can't vote.
But just saying that it's fraudulent doesn't make it so.
Oh, I know.
Are you done with your opinions now?
Okay,
all right. Cool.
You're up, Nathan.
Awesome. So first thing I want to talk about, Bev Gray, you had mentioned during the discussion of campaigning up here from this location, and you mentioned the what about recall Kevin Cry signs. Obviously, you're against the recall of Kevin Cry, and you've obviously you're making that very clear what side you're taking. But maybe you didn't notice the no on recall Cry right there in the window in the back of the room. Then you said nothing about that. So I guess my point is that. Maybe this is supposed to be kind of like the board, and it's not supposed to be a partisan position. Maybe you're just supposed to do work for the county, and if the job you guys are supposed to be doing is actually investigating election integrity, maybe leave your personal opinions out of it, because they don't matter. That's not what you're here for. That's not what the supervisors are here for. So, next thing, I'm actually really grateful for all these people that have come up and talked about all these little instances of fraudulent votes or, you know, miscalculated votes. I also noticed that no one's political party preference of all these fraudulent votes was mentioned. So I heard places like Castle, real far northern rural places of Shasta County. The whole idea behind it is not that vile left Democrats are stealing our elections, right? Is that not what you guys tell people? So how many vile left Democrats do you think live way up in far northern Shasta County? Because I would bet you that those people who might be doing this or maybe even just making mistakes, because mistakes also happen, fraud does not also, like, a mistake is not always just fraud as well. There's a lot of people in this county, mistakes are bound to happen. But my point is that maybe it's not just these vile left Democrats trying to steal the elections. Because that I've certainly never tried to steal an election, and I have a lot of Democratic friends, and I know none of them have tried to steal an election. I've always voted accordingly, legally, you know? And so speaking of voting, you know, it's hearing about what is happening with Kathy Darling Allen. You know, she's having heart issues. The things she's had to go through dealing with what basically Patrick Jones inspired a bunch of people to go do, to go attack her relentlessly. She has been doing this job for 30 years, and she did not try to steal our elections. You guys just lost. And if you want to win, maybe instead of complaining about losing, run better candidates who have better values. Then you might win some elections. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, I've never looked to see if anyone was Democrat or Republican or any party.
All right, I can't really read this, but, oh, KC? No. KC?
Just a couple weeks ago in a Georgia court, Professor Jay Halderman showed how easy it is to hack into a Dominion voting machine tabulator using a pen to change total votes. Just a couple, these machines we used for two long decades have been shown in court to be accessed to the internet and can be easily hacked remotely. Please read the 96-page Halderman report that was hidden from the public for 2 years by a far-left judge and finally released in June. So this means that the Dominion election machine company has lied to us about what these machines are capable of. 20 years of Dominion in this county. What is the consequences of this for our county? We have seen a great decline, especially in this time frame here. These have huge consequences. Multi-millions of our votes have been in a compromised, vulnerable position, which means we may have had unelected government officials and laws put into place that didn't represent the desires of we the people. How long have our liberties been stolen from us? According to the leader of the Recall Kevin Cry Group, the main reason they want to recall him is because of Kevin's vote to remove the Dominion machines from our county. Suzanne Barrymore is a member of this group. So Kevin Cry is a hero and yet has been pursued like a wounded animal. There has been campaigning against him using public resources, such as when Tim Garman wore the shirt doing his job. If Kevin Cry has heart issues, he should take it up and blame the officials responsible. So there's a real question about the non-transparent way his recall was put on the ballot for the next election. Where there's a lack of transparency, there are red flags. Kathy Allen stated Dominion machines were not allowed to be audited because of their proprietary protection, a huge red flag that was allowed to continue for decades. Many citizens were rightly outraged by this. There are many other areas in our election system that lack transparency. There are so many red flags to investigate. This election commission has a huge job in front of you. Those of you who want secure and transparent elections are up against many powerful forces who have deceived the public in many ways in order to keep the Dominion machines for the last 20 years. Kathy Allen has fought hard resisting the challenging of these machines. She has pursued those who want transparency, treating them like villains and attacking them as well like wounded animals. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else for public comment?
Lori Bridgeford, good afternoon, Board and Chair Lund. I would like to start with a comment from somebody that was trying to get here and won't be, so I'm going to just read it verbatim. This is from Richard Gallardo. Quote, "The election office consistently refuses to perform a proper and complete voter roll maintenance of each election cycle. The registrar of voters and the employees are knowingly using dirty voter rolls to print illegal ballots, period. They are also knowingly receiving and tabulating those same illegal ballots, period. That shows intent and to commit election fraud, period. Prove me wrong, period. Richard Gallardo. My comment will be about, I don't see security in this room, maybe in the hallway, but we have the chronic perpetrator that shuts down these meetings all the time, so I find that very disturbing regarding conduct and behavior. The California Government Code, GOV 25206, as of January 1, 2023, the board may direct the sheriff to attend, either in person or by deputy, all the meetings of the board to preserve order and to serve notices, subpoenas, citations, and other processes as directed by the board. Please mention that to the board when you connect with them. The recall T-shirts are a perfect thing to look into. That hallway, I'm told, is free for anybody. It's the people that are in this room, like we had Christian Gardner. How many weeks after weeks is your friend, Susan Barrymore, back here acting like a lurch, pestering us, bothering us, harassing us, as well as the other individual? So, absolutely, I would like what the attorney, counsel, Jin, G-I-N, I would like what you said today to be put in writing, because I am trying to keep up with the gray back and white conversation about that whole thing. I am very sorry that anyone has health issues. Oh, I want to add this to the box. This was back in December of 2022, not the December we just had. 15 points, I think we're up to 18, on problems, issues, and concerns regarding ROV Allen. I will put this in the box in case you have not seen it, Don Duckett or Susan Barrymore. Right there. Extra copies. The other thing is I'm very sorry when people are falling ill, succumbing to the bioweapon vaccine. I have 29 seconds. Call it a vaccine, whatever. I don't know, but the newspaper, Sunday paper, full-page ad, Dignity Health, health issues, heart issues. Yeah, look up the reasons why some people are suffering and or dying. So I have heart issues. It's stress, Susan Barrymore, Don. When I have an individual make a 4-hour, 14-minute cyberbullying and you're a part of the chat room, I have a big problem. I'm shocked you haven't got off your stuff.
Thank you, Lori.
You bet.
Can I make, a request in our minutes that there be a 2 or 3 minute summary of what County Council said regarding campaigning?
Commissioner Michaud, we can definitely look into that. Minutes are usually subject to just action taken by this board and not typically the interpretation of commissioners, as we've moved to just simply action minutes. But I can definitely look at having maybe council put out a memo to this commission on what was advised during this meeting, if you would like.
Okay. We'll have to address that with minutes because I'm confused. I thought our minutes included more than just actions taken.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Who are you, ma'am?
Anne. Thank you. We need to vote. We need to make our elections more secure. Voting on election day at the precinct, hand count, paper poll books, and to remove the drop boxes. We need transparency in the election. Down at the ROV, because we're not being able to see what's going on, and that is wrong. We are the people. We need to be there to see that everything is secure and not, you know, keeping us from anything suspicious. So that needs to be done. And I have some declarations in Shasta Street. There was a couple that lived there and said that the person that voted there did not live there. So that's one declaration. Another declaration was off of Round Mountain, and this person did not exist that voted there. So there's two that are. Thank you.
Thank you.
And have you forwarded those to the registrar's office? I sincerely hope you will.
Good afternoon, board. I'm Jim Burnett.
It's been troubling to me that our local election office supported something as egregious as AB 969. And I've been wondering why in the world would not only our local election officials support AB 969, but why would the whole state of California apparently support such a bad bill? Why would the state move so fast to implement and enact a law that made hand-counting ballots illegal? This, the behavior of the legislature shows that they were extremely threatened by little old Shasta County reverting back to a system that served us well for many, many decades, and is, in fact, hand-counting is used in many of the first world countries around the world, Europe, South America, and Asia. Why do so many modern countries insist on hand-counting their paper ballots? Just about every one of those countries, to my recollection, used electronic voting tabulating machines a while, and then they got wise to them because they knew that they could be fraudulently manipulated. And by the way, they were all proprietary software, which meant that they really couldn't have any way to vet them, to read logs that were meaningful and such. And now nobody trusts their electronic voting machines, especially many of us in Shasta County. And it seems to divide on whose party won the last election. I grant you that. That's human nature. But there is a lot of substance to our complaint about using those machines. My conclusion is that the ruling party in California, the Democrat Party, wants to be able to illegally rig elections and thus keep a death grip on the tyrannical power they have over the people. We're after local control here, and they're gonna stop at nothing to make sure that we don't get it. And it's up to commissions like you to delve into this as dispassionately and as nonpartisan as possible. Thank you.
I'd like to suggest that, you know, there were a lot of declarations shared today. I'd like to suggest that whoever is involved with the declarations, that they communicate with the sheriff's investigator about, you know, getting all of those to the ROV's office, whether they prefer that you wait while they're doing their investigation or how that should work, because I don't know. But I'm assuming whoever submitted them has a full copy, so a full copy can be made to provide to the ROV's office so those could get cleaned up. And Bev, have you been involved with this? Because if you have, maybe you can consult with whoever. Yeah.
I've been asked by the deputy, the detective, to hold off on giving everything.
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay.
But I do not have them in my possession. Okay?
Okay. All right.
I would just like to remind folks again, the ROV cannot fix what they are not aware of.
Right.
So it seems like both parties could have copies of those documents, and that would be the most expeditious way to allow ROV staff to help them do their job.
Yeah, Bev, maybe you could find out the reason why the investigator doesn't want it forwarded to the
ROV. It's still under investigation, so I'm not at liberty to discuss everything.
All right.
I just want to state that I find that surprising because the ROV can't, if the ROV knew about it, they could put those voters into an inactive role so their votes wouldn't be counted in the next election. But without it being turned in, then that just allows the votes to be counted again.
Well, we're going to be looking at some other things, and we're going to see if we have patterns, which I've already seen patterns. And there's only so many possibilities of these getting on to the voter rolls and being taken off and being put back on again. So, you know, I'm working on that every day. Thank you.
Oh, okay, we have another public speaker.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to update some suggestions here. My name is Robert Exter. I live in the city. I was listening to people that are involved in the investigation, and they said it's passed. The investigators at the Sheriff's Department have passed it on to the our district attorney, and that's where the cases have to be reported to now, because they won't change the evidence. They won't take any more evidence. But that's the party that's in control of these reports right now. And I just wanted to straighten that out, because if you go to the ROV, yeah, sure, you can give them to the ROV, but the real problem right now is the investigation is with the district attorney.
I spoke to the detective as of last week, so I'm not aware if there are two different cases that are going on, because the one that I know that was submitted is still under investigation.
All righty. So moving on, looks like we're done with public comment. We're on to the consent calendar. Approve the minutes from the January 8th and January 22nd, 2024 meetings.
I'll move approval.
Second.
I would like to pull the January 8th minutes. But if somebody wants to make a motion to approve the January 22nd, are you guys okay with the January 22nd minutes?
I'll amend my motion for January 22nd.
Second.
All those in favor of approval of the January 2022.
Can you ask for public comment?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Any public comment on approval of the minutes from the 8th and the 22nd of January?
Oh, dear God.
Yes, my public comment, Dr. Lars Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I'm concerned because I'm looking back at the previously recorded meetings. We have audio recording, as I understand, and I thought we were going to have this as part of the public record. However, it only goes back to January 8th and January 22nd.
Stephanie, can you address this? Because I had the same concern at some point.
Yeah, no problem. I've actually addressed this with quite a few people. So we want to try and separate the Citizens Election Advisory Committee from the Shasta County Elections Commission. And so for that, they have separate pages. When those branched off and we went with the Elections Commission, there is a link on their site that links to the Citizens Election Advisory Committee, and that's where you can find all the records for that committee. And that the Elections Commission, if I'm not mistaken, was effective as a commission on the 4th of January. So beginning the very first meeting of this year and on, we have all those records for the Shasta County Elections Commission on that site. And again, like I said, there is a link to the Citizens Election Advisory Committee on that same webpage.
Yeah, down at the bottom.
And they've been archived there.
They have, yeah.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, if you scroll down to the bottom of the commission page, there's a link to the Advisory Committee page.
Okay, Ms. Hobbs, I can help you get there, too. If you want me to send you a link via email, I have my card here. You could just email me, and I'll send you that link. That works, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank All right. Anybody else for public comment? All right. So we have a motion and a second, too.
Hold on one second. Sorry. Can I have two questions? Are these records archived forever or permanently, or do they get deleted?
So minutes are archived. Our retention schedule is forever, so we don't discard the minutes. In terms of the audio recording, we are as long as we hold them, I believe it's for 30 or 60 days, there's a certain limit. I am not disposing of those within that limit. So my retention for now is going to be until further notice. I have discussed with the chair possibly keeping those for 6 months, which is well beyond my requirement. But at this point, I'm just going to keep them until the sunset date of this commission. And so that way they'll be available in at least until that point.
Okay. And then if I have a question from the 24th meeting or the 22nd meeting.
I've pulled the 22nd. Or no,
I pulled the
8th. Okay, I'm sorry.
So if I have a correction for something that was said, can I speak that now?
We'll just pull them both. And
well, I don't know that it's actually in the minutes. I mean, we don't get recorded word for word. I want to make a correction to Suzanne's error ratio that she did last.
Okay. Well, if it was in the minutes, then we'll just pull them for discussion. And
if not, then there's no way to correct that statement. Is that what you're saying?
If it's in the minutes, is it something that's in the minutes or something that should have been addressed in the minutes?
I didn't see it for the...
But it was something that was discussed?
It was discussed.
Okay. Then we'll just pull the minutes, and we'll start here with January 8th. We'll put it at...
And Chair, if I may, yeah. I can definitely defer to counsel on this one. I think you're going to say what I want to.
Sure. I was going to recommend that since there has been a motion, on the floor, whether to proceed with that motion and act on that first. But if you wish to pull, or if Commissioner Barrymore wishes to withdraw.
There was a motion made before she had an opportunity to say that she wanted to pull it.
So we can take a vote.
I'm happy to withthraw the motion so we can address Bev's issues.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move C1 basically down to our first regular item for the time being. And we're going to start with January 8th. Under ad hoc committee recommendations on the second page, it says, by motion made, seconded Lund, Gray, and carried 3-2 by roll call vote with Commissioners Barrymore and Duckett voting no, the Shasta County Election Commission approved the recommendations from ad hoc committee members Lund and Gray, and it should say concerning examination of initiative, referendums, recalls, and other petitions and related materials, not what it says there.
And Chair, I'm sorry, you said you're on page 2?
Yeah. I mean, page 3. I'm sorry, they are numbered. Page 3. Page 3, sort of second to the bottom under ad hoc committee recommendations. Third from the bottom.
Okay. I have that now, and what are you recommending?
So in the paragraph where it says that the by motion made, seconded, and carried, mm-hmm. toward the end, it says concerning, and it should say concerning examination of initiatives, referendums, recalls, and other petitions and related materials. That was the recommendation.
So we can certainly do that, but the language on here says as amended, and we amended that to include that information, so I believe that it would suffice still.
Yeah, I don't think so, because at this particular meeting, the document that was reviewed had that information. It didn't have what's stated here. It had examination of initiatives, referendums, recalls, and petitions.
I'll certainly defer to counsel, but we tried to limit our language to what was agendized so the community as a whole would understand what this commission action was, and then we did amend it. If they are looking for the specific amendments, they could always go to the audio recording. That would be my recommendation, but I'll certainly defer to counsel if she feels differently.
That's fine. The minutes only have to, they do not have to be precise. They can be of actions. If you do wish to include information about what the amendment is for the purposes of clarification, that can be added.
Yeah, because I think it's confusing.
Okay. Was that the only area?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion that we approve the January 8th meeting minutes with the change after the word concerning to examination of initiatives, referendums, recalls, and other petitions and related materials as amended to be presented to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors for consideration.
Second.
And Chair Lund, could I ask that you ask for public comment?
I already asked because we had the change. Okay.
Correct.
Any public comment? Okay, seeing none. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, moving on to the January 22nd meeting minutes. What would you like to discuss, Bev?
During the meeting, when Dr. Frank was talking about there was 400 declarations, Suzanne made a comment that out of 112,000 voters, it was only a 0.0008, and I would like it to be on the record that the group of records that we looked at and canvassed was 456 of those. There was a problem with 189 was a problem, and that error factor is 41.447% of what we looked at. And if you deduct the people that were not home to canvas, then that percentage goes up even further. And it doesn't include any of those people that didn't vote, going to their to canvas them, and you know, to see if they actually did not vote, because we did start finding people that we didn't ask because, you know, they didn't vote, but
okay.
Then we found out they did vote.
So for clarification, her statistic was for all the registered voters, active registered voters, and yours is for the sample, correct?
Ours is for the sample, and her figure that she quoted was based on us canvassing everyone, and there's no way we covered 112,000 people.
Commissioner Gray.
Okay.
I would suggest for comments like that, since that wasn't in the minutes,
right,
and we are considering the minutes now, that there is a time on the agenda, item R3, where we give commissioners reports. That would be the appropriate time,
okay,
for you to bring up a topic like that. I don't feel it's appropriate to have this included in the discussion with the minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to
okay.
say.
I didn't know.
I was just going to say that we're not going to change the minutes because of what you just said, but it is in the audio recording for reference. But Commissioner Duckett is correct. It would probably be best for you to report such things during your commissioner report. All right, moving on. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for the 20th January?
Motion.
Second.
And Chair Lund, sorry, since this item is being returned to again, can you please ask for a public comment?
Sure. Public comment on January 22nd minutes. All right, seeing none, we have a motion. Do I have a second to approve the 20th?
Second.
Okay, we've got a second for approval of the January 22nd minutes as they are. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, moving on to regular calendar, R1. Approve Shasta County Election Commission bylaws for recommendations to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Of course, I have some comments. Do we want to start with you? Dawn, do you have anything? Okay.
Nor do I.
I'll defer.
Okay.
I have a possible typo on page 1, section 2.1b.
Oh, placed.
Yeah.
Places?
Where?
B, where it says placed instead of, I assume places, yeah.
And that's clerical. I can make that change.
Okay. And then you had mentioned something about minutes, and then here in section, on page 3, section 6.4, there is a description on what our minutes should consist of. Can we, can you repeat what you said and compare that, we can compare that with this?
Sure. So as the clerk to the commission, it's my responsibility as the clerk of the board to prepare minutes which accurately reflect the action taken by this commission. As such, previously for the Citizens Election Advisory Committee, the clerks had taken some discussion and included those in the minutes. As we converted over to the Elections Commission, I have directed staff to just simply do action minutes. I felt like we were getting too hung up on interpretations of things, and so because of that, I have directed staff to just move forward with action minutes and leave out the discussion. And like I said earlier, audio recordings are available if anybody has any questions or wants to look back at meetings to get any type of discussion.
Okay, so when it says description of each matter discussed, it means like a description of R1 or R2.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So would there be an issue if there was something very important that we wanted documented in the minutes that we state that and say, please document this? And I'm not talking about paragraphs or lengthy things, but just we want this documented. If one of the commissioners wanted it documented in the minutes.
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, anything else?
I have a question. Is there anything, and I might have missed it, but when I go to the ROV office, I don't get any closer look or anything else than anyone else. I mean, I didn't think that was the intent of this committee. I thought we were supposed to really be able to see what is going on. Is that not the case?
I had stated at the last meeting that I was going to be meeting with Joanna and that I would ask her about that, but our meeting was canceled, but I will be meeting with her, so I will make a note here again to ask her about that, okay?
And Commissioner Gray, was there something about your comment in relation to the bylaws?
I didn't know if it needed to be in the bylaws, some kind of a description of extra.
So the bylaws are to govern the conduct of the meetings. For your authority or duties, that would be what's prescribed in the ordinance that was approved by the board.
Thank you. Okay, anything else, Commissioner Gray? Okay. So does it matter, Stephanie, if the wording under the discussion is not quite accurate? Or, I mean, because it's not part of the bylaws, so does it matter?
What are you referring to?
Well, under discussion, the second paragraph.
What page?
The first page, the cover page.
On the staff report?
I'm just
report?
Asking if it matters. Yeah, in the staff report. If it's just worded completely incorrectly, and it should say an appealed resolution, and then it says which became effective. It implies that resolution became effective January 4th. It's just not accurate, and so I'm wondering if it matters.
So on the staff report, the second paragraph in the discussion states, on December 5th, 2023, the Board of Supervisors adopted ordinance number Shasta County Code 2023-07, which renamed the Citizens Election Advisory Committee as and established the Shasta County Elections Commission, and repealing resolution number 2023-09, which became effective January 4th, 2024. That is correct.
Right, but anyway, it's just there's incorrect English in there because it so I was just wondering if it mattered.
Not for the bylaws purposes,
okay.
But
okay.
It does basically explain how we're getting to this to this point. I'll defer to council if I'm wrong.
Okay.
No, there's no issue, and I think part of your comments speak to the title of the ordinance, which I believe that this is taken from that text. So, but it does not impact the language of
Great.
The bylaws.
That's all I wanted to make sure of. Yeah. Okay, section 1.1, it says, shall be the Shasta County Election Commission. You guys have been calling it the Elections Commission, so what are we settling on here?
Whatever the ordinance says.
It is elections with an S. I can make that change. That's clerical.
Okay. Section 1.2, it says, and resolution number 23099 with a sunset date on September 12th, 2027. So the sunset date of 2027 pertained to the resolution, and there's nothing that I can find, and the resolution was repealed, and there's nothing I can find that carries that sunset date over to the commission. And there's nothing in here in the bylaws that say that we need to sunset September 27th. I mean, September of 2027. And so I want to confirm that that is taken out, and I want to confirm whatever wording is going to go in here so it's not construed that this commission sunsets, necessarily sunsets in 2027.
I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that with the passage of the ordinance, that the sunset date goes away altogether until the ordinance itself is repealed. I could be wrong.
Well, that was my, yeah, that's my understanding.
Also. That is correct. I think if in the second paragraph of section 1.2, it does state that the subsequent action after the resolution was adopted is that on December 5th, 2023, the board enacted ordinance 2023-XXX. I believe I had some changes since there wasn't an ordinance number. Renaming the Citizens Election Advisory Commission as and establishing the Shasta County Elections Commission and repealed resolution number 2023-099. So with that, that would essentially, it removes the sunset.
Okay. I wanted to confirm that because I've heard at least a few times from staff that they were still thinking that we were sunsetting in 2027. So I wanted to confirm that and make sure that we're all on the same page about that.
Section 6 of the ordinance does repeal the resolution.
Right.
In full.
Okay. All righty. And then, yeah, you pointed out here that the numbers haven't been put in for the ordinance.
I'll include that.
Okay. Section 3.4. Says each member serves at the pleasure of the board and may be removed from office by the board at any time. And I'm wondering if this should say by the supervisor that appointed them, or if it should say something, I'm wondering what the purpose of this section is, and if the purpose is to remove somebody who is not doing a good job or is, what is the purpose?
So, Chair Lund, it's my understanding that the appointees, although they're appointed by a certain individual, the action by a simple majority vote of the entire Board of Supervisors is what actually appointed each member. So that being said, if for any reason somebody was removed from this seat, a new appointment would need to go back before the Board of Supervisors. It would not be on that specific district supervisor to make that change. They would have to bring that for simple majority vote by the board.
Right, but this is talking about this is solely talking about removing.
That is a good question. And so usually in bylaws for membership, it talks about how a commissioner becomes eligible for membership, but it also talks about instances of removal and vacancy, so that is common too as well. And it just speaks to that.
Right, but
an individual board member cannot individually just appoint someone to this commission or remove anyone from this commission without a majority vote of the board, I think is what this means.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at is because of the political nature of the topic that we handle, the way that it's worded, it concerns me because I feel like it opens up potential for removal of commission members by a majority of the board.
It does.
And for no apparent reason other than maybe they don't like their political bent.
And I would see that as the board's prerogative.
Okay.
So it does state that each member serves at the pleasure of the board. So the board does has that discretion. It has the discretion to create the commission, to have a member nominated by one of the supervisors and then affirmed by a majority vote of the board. So it can create as well as disband the commission, whether in full or as individual.
Well, I understand that the commission could be disbanded, but this is talking about individual members.
Correct.
Right. So it seems that, short of neglecting their duties, that people shouldn't. So a supervisor appoints a person. Let me just say, supervisor appoints Suzanne. And if the majority of the board, for some reason, did not like Suzanne, they could just vote to remove her, even though the one board member. I know we all know this, but I'm doing this for the sake of a discussion. Could just remove her because they don't like her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any reason we have to have such wording in here? Because the supervisor that appointed that person chose that person, and they should have their term unless they are delinquent in their duties. So
the supervisor that nominates a commissioner, an individual commissioner, for appointment to the commission is not the sole decider of who gets to serve on the commission. That, in order to appoint that person to the commission, it requires a majority vote.
I understand.
So it is kind of at the pleasure of the board to determine who serves and for how long to. So you can have a general guideline as to say, okay, they serve for 4 years. But if at any point, yes, you are correct, there's a different decision. The Board of Supervisors can undo their action too as well, essentially. And that is something that would also be outside of the bylaws. The bylaws just simply are putting down the process so that it's clear. This is not a new rule created by the bylaws.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, is it necessary that it be worded like that?
Chair Lund, if I may?
Yeah.
It is common that such language is included in bylaws, but please know even if we remove it, it's still established by the ordinance which established this commission. And so the language is still there regardless of whether they're in these bylaws or not. It just simply restates it.
Okay, I don't remember that being in the ordinance.
And these bylaws only bind us. They don't bind the Board of Supervisors to do or not do anything. That's their prerogative.
I have the exact language in the ordinance. It's under Section 2A, Appointments, and Section 2E.
I believe it's A.
Oh, sorry, A.
The commission shall consist of 5 members appointed by the board, each of whom will be selected by a different supervisor. Members must be of good character and must be registered voters of Shasta County at the time of appointment. Members will serve 4 years, 4-year terms, which shall be concurrent with the term of the supervisor who appointed them. Initial appointees to the committee may serve shorter terms due to their concurrence.
Yes, that would be B. That is correct.
Yeah, so I still believe that sentence should be removed.
They're saying that even if we remove it in the...
I understand that.
Okay.
The other thing that you could do is say that the removal shall be subject to ordinance number SCC 2023-07 and any applicable laws. So if that would...
That would make me happier.
Thank you.
Removal shall be subject to ordinance and applicable laws. Five point two.
Just one moment, Chair.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
At the very bottom of page two, it says, in any year where there is no regular or special elections, the commission shall meet once annually. I would like that changed to the commission shall meet at a minimum something, but not once annually.
Would you be amenable to, in any year where there are no regular or special elections, the commission shall meet once annually at a minimum?
Oh, that's fine. I mean, so let's just have a quick discussion about this, people. So let's say the tide turns, things are different. I would say at least quarterly. I would say monthly, but I could compromise at quarterly because if the commission only met once a year, that does not provide any time for public comment or work on election issues and so on. So I would like some feedback from some of the other commissioners on this.
I think a minimum of quarterly would be fine because it doesn't seem that there would be anything preventing us from doing ad hoc committee work or other things that may be going on. And we can always revisit this, just depending on how busy we are and, you know, what it seems like we do need to be doing in terms of work.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, too, to just give us some flexibility, if we say at a minimum annually, it doesn't stop us from having more meetings.
No.
So.
No. It just, the way it was worded, it said one meeting a year.
Right. And I get your concern with that.
Okay.
And bouncing off of those, because this is our bylaws, not our schedule, I think that leaving it at, well, I mean, I could be convinced to go to quarterly, but leaving it at a minimum and once annually at a minimum provides so that we don't have to change the bylaws in the future regarding that point. It's just we can change our schedule. We can make it monthly. We can make it quarterly. But changing the bylaws is just an additional regulatory hassle that we'll have to jump through different hoops for.
Right. But I would like it at least quarterly in the bylaws because, like I said, if the tide turns and things are different, there's different people on the commission, they might not want to meet at all. And the public might want to be able to address the commission. And if they only have a minimum of one, or if they are only bylawed to once a year, that means the public can only address them once a year.
I mean, if the tides changed that much, there'd be nothing stopping a board majority from dissolving this commission.
Right.
So I'd be happy with leaving it at a minimum of 1 year and then having the commission decide how often they want to meet or if there are agenda items or ad hoc committees that are working. I mean, I'm not vehemently opposed to quarterly, but it removes some flexibility there.
Bev, anything?
I don't have any problems with it being quarterly, but it definitely needs to be noted as a minimum of annually at least.
Yeah. Question on procedure. So if we change it to quarterly, do we still vote on it today, or does it have to come back at a different meeting?
No, it's agendized right now.
You could vote on it today with a minute.
Okay, let me keep going through my items. And
are we going to change it to quarterly?
I'm not sure if I got a consensus on that.
Yeah, I was going to do it all at once, but if you want, do you want me to?
Are there more things we might need to do?
I'd like to make a motion that we change this wording to the commission shall meet quarterly at a minimum.
I think we could take the bylaws in its entirety if you want to go through them. I just wasn't sure if we had consensus to change that, my own notes. So we can continue on with whatever suggestions the commission wants to decide instead of taking separate votes on each change. I apologize if that came across as confusing.
So we could just say whether or not we're okay with that?
Correct.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay, quarterly?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Section 6.2, this was different from previous versions. So it says can be added by county support staff. So motion by the commission or approval of the chair. So, do you want to share your thoughts on that, Stephanie?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, Chair, but in regards to this item, this is basically just saying that at any point, if any commissioner wants to add an item to the agenda, it would need approval through the chair, or it would need a simple majority vote during a meeting to be agendized for a future meeting. Simply putting county support staff on there, I don't have a preference either way. I'm not going to be adding things to the agenda without your approval or any chair's approval.
Okay, then I think we should take it out because it implies that staff can put things on their agenda without any.
So I do actually just have a recommendation. Kristen Golling-Smith, she's my clerk as well, and she did bring up a good point. Every year we, according to the bylaws, will be bringing forward the vote for a chair and vice chair. I would recommend allowing county staff to do that without the approval of the chair, as that's going to be following the bylaws.
Right, and I understand, there are certain things that...
Calendar of meetings, things like that are the simple things staff are putting forward.
My only concern is what might get put on there that... we wouldn't know about or the chair wouldn't know about, but I guess during agenda review that would.
Yeah, ultimately the approval of the agenda goes to the chair. So all those items would be getting approved through the chair before publishing.
May I make a recommendation for the change that I hope may address your concerns? To revise section 6.2 to read as follows. Agenda items shall be added to the agenda by county support staff or by motion and approval of a majority of the commission subject to approval by the chair.
That sounds amazing. I move we do that.
So by county support staff or motion of the commission?
By county support staff or by motion by... and approval of a majority of the commission. So it's not simply by a motion and one, it would actually require consensus. So, and then comma, subject to approval by the chair.
Okay.
And that was loud. Without seeing it in front of me, the subject to approval by the chair pertains to both of those previous.
Correct.
Thank you.
But items can also be added by the chair also.
If you wished for the chair to add things, items unilaterally.
We had that in previous versions.
That would be at the commission's consensus or will, if subject to discussion now.
It's been changed.
So it's currently that way, but the wording here is not reflecting that? Is that correct? Are you you're currently able to put things on, correct?
Stephanie, could you word it whereby county support staff by motion of a majority of the commission or by the chair subject to approve, you know, all of which in the word, whatever wording, subject to approval by the chair.
Yeah, so as Ms. Jen just stated, here are the following notes that I have to change section 6.2. Agenda items shall be added to the agenda by county support staff or by motion and approval of the majority of the commission, subject to approval by the chair.
And then it sounds like Chair Lund would also like another addition.
Right.
Yes, following by motion or approval of the and a majority of the commission, comma, and at the discretion of the chair, comma, subject to approval by the chair.
Right. Because that's what we had previously.
Okay. Done.
Okay. On page 4, 7.1, second sentence, should it be ad hoc committees, not ad hoc commissions?
Yes.
Yes.
So here's where I used Word as a find and replace.
I figured that. Okay, and it says, shall focus on a single topic. I find a little bit of an issue with that because, for instance, the very first committee we formed gave Commissioner Gray and I a little bit of latitude for what we were working on, and other ad hoc committees have, you know, their scope is a little larger than one particular single topic. So I'm not sure if we form an ad hoc committee, if it matters, if it focuses on a single topic, as long as we have we've approved formation of the ad hoc committee to work on a particular issue.
You can revise single topic to a particular issue.
Yes, that would be great. Um, 8.1, therefore, any member experiencing a conflict of interest, real or apparent, shall excuse themselves. Do you want to give any example? I've tried to come up with some examples, and I have one. I'm not sure. Do you have any examples of what might be a conflict of interest in this particular situation?
I don't know, like someone owns a company dealing with a.
So we're talking more about financial conflicts of interest.
So Chair, if I could actually ask counsel a question really quick, if you don't mind. So typically for county employees who are required to submit a conflict of interest or economic interest form, those are specific to people who are on payroll or would make a commission or be paid. Because the commissioners don't make any money and they're volunteer only, they don't have a requirement to fill out Form 700. And as such, do we need this section on the bylaws?
Just because a commissioner might not have a financial conflict of interest for themselves, they could also potentially have some through other relationships. So let me confirm with that. But if you could, we could also just state that I would say after the second sentence, therefore, I would put insert the words if applicable, comma. For now, and then we could just address that as it comes up, if it even comes up. Would that address the chair's concern? Is that what you're...
Well, yeah, just because of the nature, again, of what we're addressing, there's a lot of interpersonal relationships on both sides, and I was wondering if that caused any conflict of interests, but, you know, it's too convoluted to really address. I just that's what I thought of when I don't know.
No, that is a really good question because of the advisory role of the commission. That said, I think it would depend on a factual scenario because there is, since it is a proposed recommendation to the board, so you are still attempting to have an influence and in through a recommendation. Again, can't think of anything right now, but that is a possibility. So I would just say, comma, if applicable. And then if you need to address it, you can, but.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's all I have.
And then Chair Lund, I was wondering if you'd like to ask members of the public.
I do. I actually remembered, but I was gonna ask Stephanie a question first. I'm wondering if this could be cleaned up and we could just approve it at our next meeting because I would really like to see all of the changes and make sure that they're.
Sure, so you have two options. We can make a motion to continue this, and we can certainly do that, or we could, I made notes, so we could quickly go over each change,
okay.
And then that way, if that's easier,
all right.
It's up to you.
Okay, any public comment on R1, the bylaws? Dr. Laura Hobbs, I have a ticket for her.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Dr. Laura Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I would like to applaud you, especially Chairman Lund, for going through this with a fine-tooth comb, however tedious it may be, because I feel like there is oftentimes wording that gets placed in that if we are not careful, it can malign the progress and the success of this commission. So I wanted to thank you for looking at this very carefully and keeping our best interest in mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lori Bridgeford, and I would like to confer on this issue and topic of the conflict of interest. It may not always be financial or business or money. Conflict of interest can show a lot of subterfuge, sabotage, personal and private relationships. So at some point, I would like to see at this meeting when Commissioner Suzanne Barrymore will officially and publicly go on record that she has friendships with Nathan, Christian, Frank, Donnie. Donnie hires Nathan as her technical computer whiz person. So when you all are sometimes looking like you're texting each other and all stuff, I find that, as so do other people, that's a huge conflict of interest because you're acting out. You're pulling strings. You're doing all kinds of wild things. So I would like this explained better, and I agree with Dr. Hobbs. I appreciate Chair Lund asking for very scrupulous, line-by-line, comma, stop. Everything matters. The context, the grammar, everything matters how it's written. And so I'd rather almost have this go, push it ahead, because then we're relying on Stephanie, the clerk, to try to pay attention to 1,000 things, right, Stephanie? I could never do her job. It's just too much, and I'm trying to track with what's going on with the council, and it's really hard to take notes after notes after notes. I'm buried in paper. So to keep with this whole thing of conflict of interest and to expand on that thought, I just think there's far much more than financial, business, and profit. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment for R1?
I would just like to address for the good of the order that I have no financial, familial, other professional, legal conflicts of interest with regard to the work I do on this commission.
Donnie.
I have no financial, personal, legal relationship with Donnie.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a note, too, about Suzanne's relationship with the ROV office and Kathy. I know when I went out to pick it, she came out specifically to take a picture of one of us.
and then sat in the car for an hour, which is fine. I just wonder about her relationships with the ROV office. Thank you.
As I disclosed earlier, I have known Kathy Darling Allen since the year 2000. Our relationship has primarily been one of a working one. In the last 5 to 8 years or so, my relationship with her has been more about supporting and encouraging the work of her office. But again, there is no personal, professional, financial kind of conflict of interest there. Thank you.
All righty. It looks like we're done with public comment. I would like to make a motion that we bring this back to approve next meeting, because I would really like to see the final version with my eyes.
Second.
Sorry, who seconded? Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, moving on to R2, take the following actions. Elect a chair for 2024 and elect a vice chair for 2024. Do we have any discussion about this?
I believe since we didn't pass the bylaws, we should probably continue this item as well.
Any public comment on...
Lori Burchard, my comment is, why would it matter if this just gets dealt with today? I absolutely, as well as many of my colleagues, do not understand why Susan Barrymore is still sitting here as a commissioner. I absolutely do not want her appointed to anything. So I don't know why we can't address it today with a good conversation and hear from the rest of the public comment. Thank you.
Madam Chair, would you like me to respond to that?
I actually have something to say.
Okay.
So this was brought up. I was originally told that I would be the chair for 2024, seeing as how I had only been a chair for a little bit of time and that it was going to be fine. Commissioner Duckett suggested that she would maybe like Ms. Michaud to be chair, and I said, that's fine. So we'll just put it on the agenda. So it's on the agenda. I mean, we need to ask Commissioner Michaud, do you even want to be chair?
That's fine since it's still an agenda item.
Yeah.
My opinion on this is that there's a learning curve involved, and you have been in that position for a couple of months now, through a few months, and have learned now what's entailed in it. And I think it makes sense for you to carry on through 2024. So I would like to see that happen. I mean, whether that requires a vote or not, I'm not sure. But
okay. Any public comment? Finish with public comment.
I would like Commissioner Lund to stay as the chairman or chairwoman. I feel like she's done a fantastic job, especially getting us through this first stage where there's a lot of bumps along the road and we have to iron out all the language of the board itself. I feel like to go and reappoint someone at this point would be a step backwards, and the citizens really want to see some forward motion and some forward momentum to this commission. So thank you.
Thank you.
Lori Heston, I would ditto that comment. My concern and observation is that it's taking a long time to get through the all the technical details of this commission and establishing it, and we're so in the weeds on things that I feel like we're quickly approaching March, and we've not gotten to any of the issues that are concerning so many of us. Also, I think that it's really important when you consider the commission and the membership is that this absolutely needs to be considered a bipartisan commission. Everyone has relationships. Everyone has ideas, opinions, positions. That should be tabled. So all of you should be neutral in this setting. And let's do whatever we should do to make sure we get to the matters at hand and we don't get stuck in the minutiae of establishing the commission. Thank you.
Thank you.
This board is critical to the citizens of Shasta County, and this you've just only just begun. So, yes, I concur with the last speaker or the last comments that you need to move forward. It's already, you know, it's been moving so slow, and we need action. We need Shasta County to feel confident when we vote. That's extremely important to our republic and to our county. And so anything that will keep this moving in a forward direction, thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas Hildebrand. I've almost made the decision to quit coming to these meetings because we're so interested in dotting the I's, there's no action. So if there's no actions, we're wasting someone's money, and that's the public's. So I don't see the purpose if we're up here for show or whatever, but there's no action for the people. And so obviously I think someone should change the direction immediately. We have an election coming up, and we're playing in the other people's hands. Thanks.
Just to let you know, sir, there is work being done behind the scenes with the ad hoc committees.
Okay, so I was the one that suggested putting this on the agenda. I had expected that we would vote for chairman and vice chair in January, and I was told that we didn't because we didn't have bylaws in effect. And I, too, have been frustrated by the lack of forward motion on this commission. And so it was a little bit out of frustration that I thought, well, you know, maybe we can reset the way that the executive level, and, you know, I was going to suggest maybe Dr. Mashad as chair and Commissioner Lund as vice chair, but, you know, I'm not passionate about doing that. I just wanted to put it on the table to see what the rest of the commission thought about it. So that was really my reasoning behind it.
Thank you. I appreciate that nod of confidence. And was your motion, was it a motion or was it seconded?
No, I didn't. I haven't made a motion.
Okay.
I just asked that it be put on the agenda so that we can talk about it.
Okay. So since it's on the agenda, do we need to take an action?
Yeah, I think we should.
Well, you don't have to take an action. You can always not do anything and just leave everything as is. Or you can make a motion and vote on a chair and a vice chair at this meeting. To provide some context, the ordinance that established the commission in Section 2E states that the selection of the chair and vice chair respectively by members of the then existing Shasta County Elections Advisory Committee are hereby ratified, so that is the current status quo. Accordingly, the same chair and vice chair, respectively, as approved by the committee, shall remain the same unless and until such time as a commission shall vote otherwise or as may otherwise be required by applicable law or commission bylaws. So what that means is the chair and the vice chair serve until a majority of the commission decide otherwise. That's what the ordinance reads. Now, the proposed bylaws would, under Section 4.1, under officers, Article 4 officers, would state, the members of the commission shall elect a chair and a vice chair annually at the first meeting of the year. Officers shall serve a term of 1 year. So the commission was created. They have not yet elected a chair and vice chair. So theoretically, you could also just have a vote after the bylaws,
or at any future time, because it's whenever a majority of the commission decides to change their chair or vice chair if they want to. So you can take any action or not, no action.
So taking action or no action doesn't change the future of this coming up on a future agenda within the next year?
No, yes, that is correct. So you could even have another vote at the next meeting or the meeting after that, as frequently or infrequently as you want, but I think that's more of whether that would be helpful for the commission and the conduct of business.
What's the consensus here?
I'm fine leaving it the way it is. I just wanted it on the agenda because it was my expectation that we were going to vote in January.
Okay.
And I echo the sentiments of some of the speakers here about the agenda, the makeup of our agendas, and the fact that we just aren't getting much done other than splitting hairs on minutes and bylaws. You know, I think this is not a good use of our time.
It's fair.
And I'm fine with it as it is.
Okay. Is that the consensus? Okay. Well, then we'll just leave everything the way that it is.
Excellent.
Okay. Moving on. Commissioner reports. Bev, you wanted to start us off?
Well, I've been looking deeper into the voter rolls, and there's a lot of things out there that look very suspicious. I do think that people 90 and over, for 81% of them to vote, I think that's kind of questionable. I don't know if we're going to be able to get the I've requested a subpoena of the vital records, and that would make our job a lot easier for zeroing in on those people that have voted that have died. And, you know, there's other things that we don't really have a lot of access to that looks real suspicious. So, okay.
By what process did you subpoena for vital records?
I have not subpoenaed. I'm looking into it.
Okay.
And that's about all I can say. That's what we're trying, but putting a lot of hours into it.
Do you have anything, Commissioner Michaud?
Unfortunately, I've been under the weather most of the past couple of weeks, but I did make a small progress on finding out about public funding of ballot box observation equipment, and just further direction on where to get answers on how we should proceed with that if the commission decides to send information.
Did you say you did look into it, or you're going to?
I got further direction on who to go to get further information on how to go about that.
So maybe you'll report on that at our next meeting?
Should be able to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Can I say one thing? If the ballot boxes were to go away, then we wouldn't need the cameras. And so, you know, that's been brought up several times.
Right? So we've had ballot boxes in Shasta County since 2012. And they are required by law. And this is another thing that, you know, if folks in the community would like to effectuate change in that regard, then by all means, charter a bus, write your letters, go to Sacramento, and change those laws.
Well, I ask you how many are required?
In all fairness, only a third of what is, we're doing three times what is required by the law. So.
And that's at the discretion of our elected registrar of voters.
Right.
Shasta County is a county with a lot of geography to it, and the frame of reference for all registrar voters is always to provide more opportunity to enfranchise voters than to disenfranchise them.
Okay.
Right, and just since it came up after my presentation, whether we have one box or five boxes, it doesn't change, or 25 boxes, it doesn't change looking into surveillance equipment.
All right, Ms. Barrymore.
I am still working to get Justin Grimmer to come up to Shasta County. And for those of you who may not be aware, Justin Grimmer is a fellow at the Hoover Institute at Stanford University, who has a PhD in election data analysis and other election and democracy issues. And I feel it's very important to really discuss and dissect and understand some of his work, because it has resulted in some full-on refutals of other information that we've heard. And so I think it's really important that we as a community continue to learn about what is and isn't accurate out there in terms of the data analysis going on in our elections processes. I'd also like for us to maybe ponder a little bit, I think we all can agree that, I think we've made progress getting this far, you know, working on bylaws and whatnot, but really trying to do the work of this committee. One thing I would like to suggest is that we put the general public comment for this meeting at the end of the meeting, partly because we're hearing a lot of things that just aren't accurate, or they're not legal, or they don't apply to us in some fashion. And if we can start having the dialogue amongst ourselves that is the work of this commission, that will help educate. I think that will help better engage people in the community with a better understanding of what we can and cannot do, what the community can and cannot do, where we go effectuate change, whether that's at our Board of Supervisors or our state legislature or the federal government, because we're not gaining the traction that we want, I believe, in part because there's not a real collective understanding of where we need to be doing the work. So
I'd like to ask a question of staff. If we put public comment at the end of the meeting and ran out of time, are we in some sort of violation?
Locked out at 5.
I'll defer to counsel.
Well, I think that...
It's open comment.
Yes, for public comment for non-agendized items...
Yes.
You could also revise the order of the agenda so that you don't impact public comment. So let's say you're running out of time, you could just table one of the regular items so as to allow the public the opportunity to speak.
Okay.
How would you know how many people are going to speak? Because sometimes they don't fill out the cards, so you don't know how long it's going to take.
That is a good question. You could perhaps ask members of the public who wish to speak to stand up so you have an indication as to how many members of the public would be ready to speak. And then you could also, the chair has a discretion to modify the time limits too as well. So long as you give each person an equal amount of time in the interest of running the meeting, you can also modify the time limits too.
Okay, but a lot of times people don't know they want to speak until they hear something else said by someone else. How do you account for that?
Sure, that's a good question. I don't have an answer to that, because that is just, if you move it to the order, that's just the nature of it.
Right.
But it is for items that are not on the agenda. So theoretically, if you move that to the end, anything that was an item before, the public would have had the opportunity to speak on that particular item. So
you know, you have that. So anything else for non-agendized items would be for anything that the commission did not discuss.
I think it's also important to remember that this is not a public meeting in the traditional sense of like a town hall or something like that, that this is a meeting of this commission being held in public. So to the extent that you might be, like this gentleman here might be spurred to stand up and say something because of something that Ms. Hobbs has said or someone else, is not necessarily under the purview of the work that we're trying to accomplish.
All right, I'll be the bad guy. What about reducing the time per speaker in public comment?
It's an option. Did you have anything else, Ms. Barrymore?
Yeah, the other option to that, too, is that, you know, with the you're within the confines of the Brown Act to just say that everybody is 3 minutes, but we will only take that public comment on non-agendized items for 20 minutes or whatever you think is appropriate. The one other thing that I want to mention, because, again, I feel like we are missing a lot of good data-driven information because we are, you know, we're trying to hear the public, but at the same time, we've got work to do. It was pointed out to me with the statistics from the registrar's office that in the major elections in Shasta County since November of 2020, so that would be November 2020, and then the June and November of 2022 elections, that even though voters had other choices, between 80 and 90% of people chose to vote by mail or early voting. So this idea that confidence is an issue for voters when they have the choice to go to the ballot poll if they want, or to the precincts, confidence is much higher than I think we are really attempting to understand here in this community. And I think it's important that we recognize that.
I have a question on classification. The mail-in ballots that are received at the precinct, those are just clumped in as well, right? If they fill out the ballot, they drop it off on election day?
I did not count the dropped off ballots, just the actual, you know, vote by mail, and the people who have voted at precincts early, so or at the registrar's office early. So
all right, is that it?
So that's all I've got.
Okay.
So you don't have a date yet for Grimmer?
We are still working on that. He is a busy, busy man.
Okay. I mean, I would think that we would want both people to be here, or at least both sides of the fence, as experts.
We have heard from Dr. Frank multiple times in this county, and we have not had the opportunity to hear from Justin Grimmer other than the once that Supervisor Rickert, myself, and Registrar Darling Allen put on a community Zoom to talk about some elections issues. So
right, but two times he's canceled on us.
Again, he's got a family. He was at a deposition the last time we tried to get him up here. He works as a fellow full-time at Stanford.
Okay, right. So is it my turn to give my report?
Yes, it is your turn.
Okay. Moving on. I responded, the clerk of the board sent out an email inviting each of the commissioners to meet with Joanna Franciscat from the Register of Voters Office individually. I had a meeting with her. I have been frustrated that there hasn't been forward motion or anything actually getting done by this commission. And one of the things that I met with Joanna about is, are there things that we could do locally at the local level to increase voter confidence? And some of the things that I heard today, and I really think that if we collaborate as a commission with Joanna, that they would be amenable to fixing some of the things at a local level that don't go against state law. For example, the drop boxes. There are many more than are required by law. I think that if we collaborated with them, they would be open to reducing the number of drop boxes. We need to start making forward motions on things that we have control over. We can't, at this level, fight state law. The other thing that we could have them take a look at is their observer policies and see if we could tweak those a little bit. She seemed open to all of that. But it's going to take this commission collaborating with her, and then that way we can come up with a list that we can give to the board and say these are the things that they have agreed to tweak or fix. And when we report to the board, at least we've done something.
That's
because
wonderful.
As of today, we have done nothing.
That
Thank
sounds
you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I appreciate that. And I had asked Joanna at a couple of meetings ago about the FAQ, and I had said I'd just begun to take a look at it. But she expressed that she was open to, you know, if the committee has questions that aren't addressed there, then maybe we can help them come up with the wording that addresses the concerns of the public so that I think that would help with some of the transparency issues where they have questions. We come up with answers for them and help supply that to the ROV so that they can answer those questions to the public.
I'd like to very quickly also remind people that we are in the middle of all kinds of observation opportunities and not a lot of people are turning out. That is an excellent opportunity to go and see what's going on in the registrar's office, to ask some questions if possible. But also to remember that there is a difference between observation and learning/training. So there's lots of opportunities for people to get out there and go see how the registrar's office works, how the election system works, and come to a greater level of understanding about all of the processes.
I'd like to also encourage the other commissioners to take advantage of that invitation by Joanna and sit down with her one-on-one and talk to her about some of your ideas and concerns and things that we might want to take a look at and tweak. And I found her to be very open. I'd never sat down and talked to her before then. So I walked away feeling hopeful.
All right. We were going to have it on the agenda to discuss what Bev wanted to discuss about having additional people from the community on ad hoc committees that we've formed. And council has made a determination about that. That's why it wasn't agendized. So she's going to share what was determined.
I believe the request was to discuss a possibility of appointing additional ad hoc committees who are not members of the commission. And so under the Brown Act, specifically Government Code Section 54952, ad hoc committees or advisory committees are comprised solely of the members of the legislative body, but they're less than a quorum, right? So you're never going to have three. You're always going to have two or less. Since ad hoc committees are technically a subset of the commission, you can't have members of the public be formally appointed to the ad hoc. That said, if you wish to invite members of the public to join you in your meetings or conversations that you have, that's fine. Because the ad hoc committees are not subject to the Brown Act.
Does that have to be agendized in any way or recorded somehow that an ad hoc committee had opened up its study session to the public or something like that?
No, it doesn't. It's not subject to the Brown Act open meeting requirements.
Okay.
Okay, any questions about that?
But you do raise a good point, which is, you know, keeping in mind that the ad hoc should be solely, the viewpoints and everything like that should not be communicated with the other members of the commission, because that would be technically a violation of the Brown Act if there was a serial meeting.
Do you have any? Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have. So So, well, we have one more agenda item, R4. Oh. I have nothing for R4. Anybody else have anything for R4? We're not taking any action, so
Chair Lund, I would recommend taking public comment even if there's no action.
Okay. All right, so we're on R4. Okay. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
R4. Good evening, Commission members, Dr. Laura Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I would like to say that we should keep public comment at the beginning. It enables people who are here on time to get their thoughts across, and it's respectful of those. I think they should do that at the regular Board of Supervisors meeting as well, because not everyone has the whole day to sit and wait till their turn comes up. And I, just as far as the stalling and the progress of this committee or commission, I think we really need to look at how the county employees and the legal counsel have stalled, and I feel like some of it might actually be intentional. And so I want to bring that up as well.
Okay.
And lastly, the ad hoc committee on the CVR data, I have not been contacted by anybody to discuss that. I feel like we were talking about how progress has been stalled, and that's one of the areas that hasn't moved anywhere.
I need to interrupt you for one second. There's some confusion because you were sort of addressing R3. We didn't take comments on R3.
No, that I was addressing R4.
Well, R4 is creating new ad hoc committees.
I was talking about ad hoc.
I was getting eyes on both sides. So is there a problem with her addressing what was discussed on R3?
So I would say that in the interest, if the chair allows, to allow her to speak so as to not impact her ability to make a public comment. But yes, as you had noted, generally public comments are for the specific agenda item at hand, but again, would not, you know, want to impact her ability to make any comments if the chair would have
that. And just to quickly finish up here, I know we're running out of time, but what is the status on the ad hoc committee to look at the CVR data? Because I would really like to go over that with you guys. And now it seems like maybe the public should not be involved in that, but as a person presenting the data, I don't feel like I've had a chance to look at it and answer your questions in detail. And that was one of the areas that the commission could have moved forward on.
I had a question that I asked you and you answered at a previous meeting. I think Commissioner Barrymore had comments or questions that she addressed to you regarding it at a previous meeting. And we also both communicated separately that we are waiting to hear from Justin Grimmer to receive his presentation. And then we may or may not have any questions for you. It may just be something that we come back and present to the commission, to the public.
Okay, because I thought you wanted to go over how the data was ordered. But as I understand it, I've looked at Justin Grimmer's website, and he doesn't analyze the CVR data. Maybe he has stuff that he hasn't published, but that's something to keep in mind. He has his PhD in political science.
Well, I do appreciate your willingness to be open. Should we, when we get to that point, have further questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Relative to R4 and item 1, discuss and determine election issues for which the commission may wish to provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, is another issue that I think would be really vital, and we've danced around a little bit today, is proactive work on the part of the commission to clean the voter rolls. And I don't know if that's one of your ad hoc committees, but if we can get that, like make it, if the board needs to make a motion that that will be done and that the commission would be granted access to the voter rolls so we could go through, that would move mountains in order to secure voter confidence that you could go out and say, hey, we've gone through a complete thorough analysis and the voter rolls have been cleaned. They are up to date, in other words. So that's just one more thing I wanted to state and request.
We do have an ad hoc committee working on voter rolls.
So with those committees, progress on those committees, is that presented by you guys at the time of your reports?
Yes.
So there's just not been anything today, for example, to report on?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Lori Bridgeford, looking at the last agenda here, R4. This isn't really well worded, but I'm gonna do my best here to go along with this here. I don't think it is all helpful to take a middle-of-the-day meeting and then try to shorten it or give people, instead of 3 minutes, 2 minutes. If people made it through the middle of the day to be here, they're here. What I heard Commissioner Susan Barrymore say, that this is more censorship, gagging, limiting. And if you don't like what people say, you don't like what people say. Keep in mind, I never swear, and I don't threaten people, but I still present information that you might not want to hear at all, or anybody else for that matter. So I'm just completely stunned you're still sitting there. Anyways, hand count at the precincts, paper poll ballots. I do not know if the Justin Grimmer, is this something we can just watch online? How long are we going to wait for this individual? You talk about we're so slow. It's going like molasses. We're not getting anything done. And then we're still calendaring people because they're too busy and cancel. You can't have it both ways, is my point. At what level do we just say we got to have a timeline cut? We're going to have to go for it. We're running out of time. And personally, I don't know, if someone's sick and can't function, they should leave the office today. If anyone's ill, sick, and compromised, they should not be on the clock, getting benefits, health insurance, vacation pay, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I will commit to redoubling some efforts so that by the next time we meet, between now and the next meeting, we have some yay or nay to Justin Grimmer, getting him up here, and or just getting some of his published work.
Okay.
So that we can move on.
All right. If there's nothing else from the commission, we're done with public comment. Meeting's adjourned.